Good morning and welcome to Wisdom Women's Wisdom Through the Ages. I'm Catherine Jay or Catherine Doy. And today I'm very privileged to have Phoebe Netto, who is the founder and managing director of Pure Public Relations, a PR agency in Australia. And just before I introduce her much more, just to give a bit of background about Women's Wisdom Through the Ages. It's basically the intention is that we'll be answering the big questions. Sometimes it might be just me of answering questions that people have maybe asked, but hopefully, usually it will be interviewing other amazing women and looking at the different ages of the women, because what I've found through life is that women of different ages think quite differently. But I believe that if we start coming together with through the different generations, that we're going to be able to come up with more holistic solutions to everyday issues in society. So I'm just entered my 50s, and I am here with Phoebe Netto, who is in her 30s. And Phoebe honed her PR and marketing skills working with PR agencies, both large and small. But then she felt frustrated that small and medium-sized businesses, charities, and not-for-profits couldn't access the expertise that big budgets could. So fortunately for us, that she founded her own PR agency in 2010. Phoebe has two beautiful daughters, Abigail and Audrey, and is married to Emmanuel. And she's very involved in regular community and charity work. So good morning, Phoebe. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm so happy to be with you.
Awesome. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Okay. And so you were saying you're a bit frustrated about what's an example of the expertise that the small businesses or not-for-profits couldn't access with the big PR firms?
They are limited in their time and also limited in staff, usually. Mm-hmm. They don't have like a big business would. They don't have a dedicated marketing or public relations or communications person that can navigate mm-hmm. that industry to get the right support.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when I was working at a big agency, because of the work that I do outside of my paid job, mm-hmm. I was having these not-for-profits and charities coming to me asking for ad hoc advice and support, and there was no one that I felt I could refer them to who mm-hmm. would do a good job within yes. the constraints that they had.
Yes.
And I found that that's because there's a lot of, they need a different approach. They don't need to pay for all of the process mm-hmm. and time consuming admin mm-hmm. and meetings without meetings. Mm-hmm. They just need a good job done and they just need the results. And
absolutely.
It's the admin and the annoying process that no one likes.
Yes.
You can cut down the budget but mm-hmm. still get quality work.
Yep, wonderful. And it's so needed. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so just as I sent out the email to you and just mentioned some questions, so I just want to ask some basic questions, and then I'm very interested. Like, I know quite a bit about what you do outside your paid job, and I would love yes. for us to talk about that later because yes. I think one of the – I'm hoping that especially that the women that we're interviewing on here, it's not that we might all have a job that we're passionate about or a business or an organisation that we're passionate about. But as you said, no matter how much you love your day job, that's, you know, having balance in our lives, and obviously family is part of that, and then reaching out and helping people in the community. So I'm really keen for us to get onto that later. But just at the moment, who do you see as your ideal client?
It would be a small business or a charity or a not-for-profit that is doing something exceptionally well
mm-hmm.
or they have a huge passion and they're bringing great skill to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really contagious, that enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that you're really happy to promote and support. And there's so many important causes that we are able to help amplify their voice for that it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, I love that.
It's such a joy.
I love that. And amplifying the voice that you already believe in. I think that's so important, especially in this day where, you know, I find the millennials, they can smell a fake. If you're not genuine, if you're not authentic, And sometimes, especially if we've been around in business for a while, we've had a few knocks around and been through some, even almost like boom or bust times. Sometimes it's a matter of you're encouraging yourself, I find, to go forward and just try again. And I remember over many years that I've been involved in different business networking groups, and the people that are very successful, they just say, keep going, keep going. Perseverance is the number one key. So, yeah, yeah.
And you can tell the people that have learnt to persevere. You can tell straight away that this is someone that has had difficulty or step back and has not let it stop them.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it makes you immovable in a sense. Yeah.
Oh, love that.
Yeah. And what would you say has been your biggest challenge that you've overcome since starting your business?
My own confidence.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? I think especially for women, I found that whether that be with myself or with other people talking to them. So how has that manifested for you?
So I've had a lot of external challenges, and mm-hmm. I started off thinking that that was my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was sort of feeling a victim to that. But really where I've seen success in my life has actually been the change in my confidence. And
yes.
That's what's actually been the catalyst for that change. And it was realizing that I did have something to offer.
Yes.
And that I didn't have to have all the answers or get everything completely right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the source of confidence was. And that was, I think, how I originally viewed confidence, which is why I didn't have much.
Yes.
But once I realized that it wasn't perfection that would result in confidence, it was simply knowing that I had earned a place at the table, I had mm-hmm. something to contribute,
yes.
and I could still be humble.
Yes.
And though I didn't have all the answers, and be confident at the same time.
Yes.
That's been such a gift, and I've still got a long way to go, really.
As have all of us.
Part of it is also knowing that it's not what I can offer as much as what has been developed in me that comes through. And that's when I have a reason to be confident.
Absolutely. And it's so important. And I've heard, especially even a lot of men lately, talking about internal fortitude. And that mm-hmm. only comes when we've overcome obstacles and, wonderful. Isn't that interesting? So that was such an important one, talking about your confidence. But I would say, especially at the moment with you having two beautiful, very lively young girls and having them at home during the lockdown, that I imagine would be challenging even for business.
Oh, yes.
So tell us a bit about that.
So before we had quarantine, I had my youngest daughter attending preschool for a few days a week,
mm-hmm.
and my eldest daughter was in primary school, and so I did have that time where I would have focused uninterrupted work. And my work is requires me to be on call and quite agile, so it's not as simple as segmenting work time and family time in order to do both in part-time capacity.
Yes.
It's really forward. And so there's a lot of adjustment that's required. In a practical sense, I'm really fortunate and glad that I had actually doubled my team just before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got a team that I can rely on who are equally in the same group because they all happen to be mums.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still tricky.
Mm.
So I'm learning some new skills in how to manage stress. Learning some new skills in time management and really questioning what matters and having to say no to some things so that I can say yes to more important things.
Yes, yeah, which is it's such an important skill.
I don't have it figured out, but it's difficult, but it's an important lesson that I need to have learnt anyway.
Absolutely,
I'm getting better at it.
Yeah, I remember going back, I don't know when it was, but it was, a decade or two ago probably, when I first learned how to say no. And it was so empowering because, like you said, when we do say no to a lot of things or even a few things, then we can say – then we have the time and the space and even the emotional energy to say yes to what is more important or what is our priority for ourselves at that time.
Yes. So,
yeah.
I'm finding it hard to say no to myself, actually. I think I put more expectations and demands on myself than other people have.
Yes.
And that is the biggest lesson I'm learning now, is doing up my own expectations.
Yes, and we were doing, especially because we just had Easter and Passover and we were talking about, okay, because we know we're in a new season, even just with the COVID, we know we're in a new season, so it's like we spent, you know, a bit of time leading up and thinking, okay, what is it from our old lives that we wanted to let go of, but then what was it that's new that we want to step into? And mine was interesting. It was, I ended up, this is after like sort of thinking about it for a few days, it was looking at myself with fresh eyes. So rather than looking at myself with the critical, self-judgmental, all of those things, and sometimes that can be from hard knocks, that, you know, sometimes, especially if you have had a bit of success, a lot of people, you know, there can be people that don't like it, or a lot of jealousy, or especially with women. And I've spoken to a few people even in the last, you know, week or so about this type of thing. And so it was just to be nicer to ourselves, I think. And like you said, just change our expectations. We don't have to be perfect at everything. You know, if we don't know something, it's fine. And I think you said about being humble. I think humility has to be key in this season going forward. Authenticity and humility. Like, we might be good at something, but there's always going to be someone else in the room that's better at the same thing. Like,
yes.
You know, we've all got something to contribute. So if we've, you know, there's a reason that we have two ears and one mouth, just, you know, listen more and, yeah.
That's very good advice.
Yeah. Cool. That now, one thing that I find really interesting with you is that you had a very unique upbringing. So tell us about, you always like, you, it wasn't just your parents who are awesome and your brother who I haven't met in the house, but who else did you have in your house when you were growing up?
So in my, I would say from about the age of 8 through to my mid-teens, which is probably a time when you tend to be quite selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I had, growing up with me, boarders and foster children and other guests in the home. So we'd almost always had at least two other people in the house who were not family.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those lived with us for years.
Yeah, wonderful. And so it's such...
I had spare ribs filled all the time.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's such an important service. I mean... Yeah, so just how did you go, like, especially like you said, when it can be a really selfish time during those ages, how did you cope with having people in the house? How was it for you as, you know, as a, you know, someone in primary school or junior high school?
There were lots of extreme emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember when I look back at that time. There were times where we would just laugh out loud and hysterics because there was nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have people come in the middle of the night, brought to us by the police,
mm-hmm.
and some crazy funny things can happen
mm-hmm.
in the midst of those times. And then equally the tears when we'd have to say goodbye to children who had become like family, and you don't know where they're going to go either. That's heartbreaking. And I remember watching my mum saying goodbye to them and processing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My mum was very good at setting boundaries mm-hmm. for us and for whoever we had in the home. So we lost a lot of personal space.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a lot of privileges and time that we would get to do what we wanted, where we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some boundaries. Yeah. There were some things that were precious that were to be kept to you. Mm-hmm. There were some moments that could not be interrupted mm-hmm. and truths that we had to know for sure, that where our parents may have had their time being given to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
there was no question of how they felt toward us, though.
Yeah,
and our structure was the same, and there was a lot of chaos, mm-hmm. and the important things were not chaotic or in question. And I think that's why we didn't ever feel that our star was being kept by these guests that had taken over our life and didn't ever feel that they had come and ruined everything. It was just both because the important things were clear and stayed the same.
Yeah. And what's an example of one or two of the important things that did stay the same?
Family mealtime, regardless of who was there. And you've got to think about the condition that some of these children arrived in our home. You know, they may have been really neglected and abandoned and never sat at a dinner table before. But the way we had our family meal times and our family devotions, where we read the Bible together, that never changed. That was not negotiable. The expectation on our behaviour never changed. And having one-on-one time together, that also stayed the same, and that was protected.
Wonderful.
So that gave us some certainty when there was a lot of things that were unusual and unpredictable going on around us, and I'm so grateful and impressed, because that would not have been easy to do.
And especially, like, part of my background is teaching, and I've worked a lot with children at risk. And when we have the boundaries there, that helps children to feel safe. Even anybody, anyone, any relationships. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, in a marriage or if it's, you know, even friends. There's got to be boundaries there. And when there is boundaries, then you sort of know, you can navigate it much easier. Yeah. And I was really curious, what are some of the things that you've done to help people, like, especially during COVID-19, I imagine that there would be so many people in houses all around the world that don't feel welcome. So, for example, it might be people who are with flatmates, maybe that they just met, and then, you know, then they're in lockdown together and they don't even really know each other. Or and sometimes the feeling of being unwelcome may be real or it may not be real. But also my heart just goes out, like, with the increase in domestic violence. You know, there might be a stepmother or a stepfather or boyfriends or different people in the house. And so how have you, you know, in your experience, what's some advice that you could help give people with that?
We need to learn how to find our peace where it can be storming, raining, outside our house, but it doesn't have to come in our house, and we can do the same with our heart. But it can be chaotic, it can have a lot of unrest in our environment, physical environment around us, but we don't have to let that into our heart. And so we need to find ways to protect that peace. So for me, being able to step away sometimes and just have a moment to take a deep breath and focus on what is true and what I want to meditate on, then I can step back into that environment and still maintain my peace. That works for me. And we need to be able to set some boundaries for ourselves. And so I'm having to learn new boundaries at the moment because I've lost personal space. And I'm not used to that. I'm used to having moments away from my children, and I don't have that now. And I'm at home. I can't actually leave because my youngest daughter's immunocompromised. So I really am not used to this. So finding boundaries that protect our emotional capacity and our peace is really important, where we've got a space and something that we can turn to when what's around us is not safe or peaceful at all.
And obviously for a lot of people that's, you know, really coming closer to God. And I know, I know even for myself, like, there's, I've just had, you know, we were chatting off air before we came on here, and just there's, you know, been a lot of really intense things happening in my life at the moment. And so sometimes I find myself when I wake up in the middle of the night and I might just be singing praise and worship songs. Or if I start, and Paula and I were talking about this the other day, it's almost like, in some ways, it's like a grief or a an oppression or a depression sometimes comes over people, especially when you're in lockdown. And I would say sometimes with that, it's even shattered dreams that people who haven't been through, like, you know, and you were saying when you're a teenager, for example, everything is just so, and as a high school teacher, oh my gosh, everything is so big and so emotional and so intense. So like you said, just whatever it is for you. So for some people it might be patting the dog, for some people it might be, you know, going for a walk, getting some sunshine, or, you know, even just looking at the flowers, or, you know, but we've got to be careful that we're sort of not always slipping into just escaping the whole time and not dealing with things. Like, I think it's a really good time. I'm seeing so many wonderful stories of people who are using this lockdown in a really positive way, that maybe they're slowing down, they are taking breaths, they're looking at, okay, well, what was working in my life? Okay, I'm going to keep that. What wasn't working in my life? Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore.
They're very constructive questions to ask.
It's just been fabulous. I've just seen so many people that have gone from, say, being quite frenetic in their pace, or, you know, a lot of the, for example, me generation can mm-hmm. be, you know, going out all the time, or, you know, catching up all the time. But now that they're sort of forced to have more quiet time, people are realizing actually it's okay, I'm okay, and then what is important. And so reaching out to family or friends, or I heard about someone the other day that he was making up food packs, and he was dropping them off, you know, to people that needed them, and I'm hearing, you know, more and more about that. But I know that you guys that you have something to do with that as well, so tell us about that.
Yes, through our church Hope Chapel, we've always had a food care program,
mm-hmm.
but that's had to change in how it operates now,
mm-hmm.
For a few reasons. One, the need is far greater and the demand is greater. Two, the availability of other help has reduced
mm-hmm.
for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, we've got to practically observe social distancing
mm-hmm.
while still giving people food. And mm-hmm. so there's a drive-through option for people to come and pick up food parcels. And then mm-hmm. we have wonderful volunteers who are taking food hampers of special and toilet paper
mm-hmm.
for those in need, or people who have been nominated by concerned friends and relatives that mm-hmm. can't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that there's so many opportunities in very big and very small accessible ways where people can be helping each other right now.
Yes.
So my eldest this week had a bit of a yucky attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down with her and explained that not only did she need to start thinking of some things that she was grateful for, but she was going to use her time to write some letters and draw some pictures for people who were mm-hmm. having a difficult time.
Wonderful.
And it changed her attitude straight away, of course. It improved mine as well.
Yes.
And it helped whoever received the letters as well. And I think there's all of us having a way of doing that right now, even as simple as sending somebody a thoughtful text message.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us better in the process as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, coming back, I think, to expectations, we can change our expectations in a moment. We can choose to, I'll just give you an example. With public speaking, so, you know, I was talking, in one of the video interviews for the release of my new book, how I haven't liked being in front of a camera or being the main person in just about all my life. I was happy to be a host, or, you know, something where I could be putting the focus on somebody else, but I didn't want people to look at me. And then I was talking to someone else about that, and they said, but at least you can do public speaking. Most people don't even like public speaking. And I was like, wow. I said, but when I'm doing public speaking, I think about how can I make it user-friendly? So how can I put the audience at ease? So that's how I'm able to do the public speaking. So it's like, yeah. So, again, it's just that flick of the switch. Yeah. And that's what you were saying with your daughter, that it's like we can think about, and we all do, and we all of us, you know, we think poor me, or there's different situations in life, but by reaching out and absolutely the attitude of gratitude, as well as reaching out, okay, there's always, no matter how bad life is, there's always going to be people more worse off than us. So So how can we reach out and help people, especially at this time? Yeah. And I just wanted to also let people know, you've been doing a video series, which I've seen definitely on LinkedIn and maybe even on Facebook, and you've sort of been sharing, I think, tell us a little bit about that. I think it's, is it for business people that you've been doing a video series?
Yes, I've been recording short videos, just giving some advice and even wisdom where I can for businesses on how to navigate COVID-19.
Yeah.
Because it's astounded me the level of fear and how people are responding to fear, where there's not maybe some resilience lacking or they've not been in such an uncertain time before and are struggling to respond and so are reacting instead. And so where I can bring advice with PR skills or even just from experiences where I've learnt, I've been sharing those through short videos and I've been getting a lot of feedback about people that are saying, well, I'm not hearing from any calm people right now.
And I think that's such a big deal. And, I mean, I don't know, maybe I've seen five of them and they've been fabulous because they're just short people just – and it is the calmness. And those of you who haven't seen Phoebe, when you see Phoebe, she just has this inner glow, more so than most other people. So even like your joy exudes from you. So it's just beautiful. So where can people find out more? If they wanted to find out more about your public relations company, where can they go to?
PurePublicRelations.com.au.
Okay, so that's pure, P-U-R-E, publicrelations.com.au. And wonderful. And because one of the things that I'm hoping through doing this podcast, by especially talking about the woman behind the business, is that people get to know who you are. And then so that in itself will be, oh, I heard that lady on the radio, you know, on the radio, or I heard that lady on the podcast. I actually would like her to do my PR. So I think especially in times of COVID when we are at home more, we are listening more to podcasts and things, that we can also be encouraging and just, so to me, this is like, it is like a little bit of PR that, you know, we can showcase other people and, you know, like from listening to you, I'm thinking, wow, I want to talk to you about my business, about to see what you could do for, you know, for my business too. So thank you so much for coming on. And is there something that you would like to leave our listeners with, just one last piece of advice or something?
One thing that I'm meditating on, reminding myself a lot during this time, is it doesn't take much wisdom or intelligence speak about the negative and to amplify fear. And so when we can really give voice to the solution and speak the alternative, that's when we can change the atmosphere that we're living in and also bring value and light to other people as well.
Absolutely. And that's so important. That was one of our focuses with a couple of my, you know, closest friends talking about, okay, well, what does 2020 look like for us? And it's about being solution focused and even like, you know, having the 2020 vision. How can we do that? So, yeah, so thank you so much for that. And I really appreciate you coming on today and hopefully thank you if you're still listening to us. We really appreciate your time. We thank you. And we just want to be speaking life and love and peace and joy into your life and your homes at the moment. And just remember that there always are people. You know, we've touched on a lot of topics today, even about depression or domestic violence. There's so many people that can help you with that. So, So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Just stay on the line and I'll just finish off for the podcast. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.